The Youth's Instructor, September 1, 1903. Lessons from the Life of Daniel, Number 10. The Youth's Instructor, September 1, 1903. Lessons from the Life of Daniel, Number 10. The Vision of the Great Image. In the same year that Daniel and his companions entered the service of the king of Babylon, events occurred that severely tested the integrity of these youthful Hebrews and revealed to an idolatrous nation the power and faithfulness of the God of Israel. While King Nebuchadnezzar was looking forward with anxious forebodings to the future, he had a remarkable dream by which his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. Although this vision of the night made a deep impression on his mind, he found it impossible to recall the particulars. He applied to his astrologers and magicians, and with promises of great wealth and honor, commanded them to tell him his dream and its interpretation. But they said, "Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." The Lord, in his providence, had a wise purpose in view in giving Nebuchadnezzar this dream, and then causing him to forget the particulars, but to retain the fearful impression made upon his mind. The Lord desired to expose the pretensions of the wise men of Babylon. The king knew that if they could tell the interpretation, they could tell the dream as well. Angered over their inability to relieve his mind, he threatened that they should all be slain if, in a given time, the dream were not made known. "The thing is gone from me," he said to the Chaldeans. "If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut to pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." Still the wise men returned the same answer. "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." Nebuchadnezzar began to see that the men whom he trusted to reveal mysteries by means of their boasted wisdom failed him in his great perplexity, and he said, "I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof." The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asked such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. When the decree went forth that all the wise men of Babylon should be destroyed, Daniel and his fellows were sought for and informed that, in accordance with the king's command, they must be slain. Then Daniel answered, not in a spirit of retaliation, but with counsel and wisdom, the captain of the king's guard, who was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Why, Daniel inquired, is the decree so hasty from the king? Taking his life in his hand, he ventured to enter the king's presence and begged that time be granted in order that he might reveal to him the dream and its interpretation. To this request, the monarch acceded. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Together the Hebrew youth presented the matter before God and sought for wisdom from the source of light and knowledge. Although for a time they had lived in the king's court, surrounded with temptation, they had not forgotten their responsibility to God. They were strong in the consciousness that His providence had placed them where they were, that they were doing His work and meeting the demands of duty. They had confidence toward God. In times past, they had turned to Him for strength when in perplexity and danger, and He had been to them an ever-present help. The servants of God did not plead with Him in vain. They had honored Him, and in their hour of trial, He honored them. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon Daniel and his fellows, and the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. He hastened to request an interview with the king. The Jewish captive stood before the monarch of the most powerful empire that the sun ever shone upon. Notwithstanding his riches and glory, Nebuchadnezzar was in great distress of mind, but the youthful exile was calm and happy in his God. Then, if ever, was an opportunity for Daniel to exalt himself, to make prominent his own goodness and superior wisdom. But his first effort was to disclaim all honor for himself and to exalt God as the source of wisdom. The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Daniel proceeded to relate the dream. Thy dream, he declared, and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Listening with solemn attention, as every particular was reproduced, the king recognized this as the dream over which he had been so troubled, and he was prepared to receive with favor the interpretation.